time of year is a time of excitement, a time of joy, a time of expectation, a time of hope, a time of celebration, a time of family and friends, a time of shopping, a time of presents, a time of parties. It's a time of cookies and candies and cakes. That's always been my favorite time and elements of this time of the year. I can remember one of my favorite reasons for going over to my mom's house was for her oatmeal chocolate chip crispy cookies. I just love those things. But even more importantly than her chocolate chip cookies was her pound cake, which adds pounds to you when you eat it. I mean, it's fabulous. It's so wonderful. It melts in your mouth. The knife just kind of falls through it by its own weight. It's incredibly delicious cake. Anyway, I just love this time of the year for all of the wonderful smells at home, baking bread, baking cookies, baking pies. Oh, apple pie. Yummy, yummy. Pecan pie amongst my... Am I making you hungry? I hope so. But this time of the year is noted for its celebrations, its parties, its excitement. This time of the year is noted, children love it because of the expectation of what Santa's going to bring. And the children have this wonderment in their eyes. I see it when I go to the toy stores to look for things for my nieces and my nephews and have in the past. It's an incredible supply of things to buy and an incredible mob of kids trying to point out for their parents what they want. It's amazing. Last year was my first year to play Santa Claus at a children's home, and this year I'm doing it again. That's the reason for the Santa appearance, and it's fun. I love doing it. And they always come out and they pull on the beard. It's short, but it's real. It's short, but it's real. Well, last year, first time this ever happened to me, I was at Walmart searching for something for my niece. You know, my gosh, those Barbies are expensive. And I'm trying to decide what to get her, and I'm looking, and I'm considering, and I feel this tug on my jacket. And I look down, and there's this little boy who looks up at me, and then he runs over to his mom, and he grabs his mom, and he points to me and says, "Santa!" Oh, my goodness gracious. It brought home to me the reality of the stages of our lives. We begin believing in Santa Claus. Then, as we grow up, gentlemen, we don't believe in Santa Claus. And then eventually we end up becoming Santa Claus. And then finally we end up looking like Santa Claus. Can I get an amen, gentlemen? Amen. Yes, it's a time of excitement, a time of wonderment, a time of expectation. For many people, it's a time of celebration. But not for everyone. Sometimes Christmas can be a painful time. Sometimes the days and the weeks leading up to the birth of this baby, the celebration of the birth of a baby in a stable over 2,000 years ago, the days and the weeks leading up to this, for many people, can be very, very difficult. Very painful. We're surrounded by the trappings of Christmas, poinsettias, wreaths, trees, Christmas music on the radio from almost like 4th of July nowadays on. It's insane. All of the mobs at the stores, the Christmas time commercials, the Christmas specials on television. If I have to watch the Christmas Without Santa Claus, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and Santa Claus is Coming to Town Again, I think I'm going to scream. The trappings of Christmas are all around us, but for some people, it's hard, difficult, sometimes even impossible to move into that Christmas celebration spirit. One of my earliest memories as a child was of going out into the living room. It wasn't Christmas Eve. It wasn't Christmas Day. It was sometime in December. The tree was up. There were presents under it, but it wasn't quite here yet. I remember walking out of the living room in my pajamas, dragging my teddy bear, and finding my mother sitting on the couch, crying. And I crawled up onto the couch, and I crawled over to her, and I put my head on her lap, and I asked her, "Mommy, why are you crying?" And I'm not sure which is my memory and which is mother retelling me this story, but I know one thing that is real, is my memory, was the sensation of my mother's tears dropping onto my cheek as she said to me, "I'm crying because I miss my dad." My grandfather died the year I was born. My mother's father died the year I was born. Never got to meet him. I wish I had. I'd heard wonderful things about him. He was an amazing man. Self-educated, extremely intelligent. Had been a farmer and then an accountant. Worked in the bomber plant during World War II. Was an amazing man. Wish I'd known him. I've heard wonderful stories about him, about his love for his family, his love for my mother, his love for my mother's brother and sister, the way he provided for them during the Depression and during the war. I wish I'd met him. He died several months after I was born. I never had a chance to meet him to my own memory. So when I was about 5 or 6, he'd been dead for a few years, and still, mother was in tears. I couldn't comprehend it. I couldn't get my little heart around it, but I knew my mother was in tears, and I remember saying something like, "Don't cry. I love you," or something like that. And I can remember mother gathering me into her arms and rubbing her wet cheeks against my wet cheek and sharing the love with her. For many people, the time of Christmas is a difficult time, a painful time, a time of remembrance, yes, and a time of mourning because a loved one or loved ones are no longer with us. Many churches produce lists like this one that was in your bulletin today. It's a wonderful list. On one side it has "in honor of," but on this side it has "in memory of." It's a list of people who are close to us, close to individuals within this church, close to the congregation as a whole, individuals who have gone on to glory at some point in the past. Poinsettias given in memory of them, to adorn our sanctuary with beauty. Poinsettias given in memory of them, to thank God for them and for their presence in our lives. It's a way of making something positive. It's a way of making a positive, beautiful statement about what they meant to us and for us, and what they've done for us, going ahead of us, teaching us, loving us, caring for us, lifting us up. My dad's on this list this year. Giving thanks to God for my dad 10 years after his passing. I look at my mother and I realize, what does she have to be thankful for? She has much, but she's lost much. Her dad, a sister, her mother, and her husband. It's understandable if there's crying. It's understandable if there's tears. This week contains December the 21st, the darkest night of the year, the winter solstice. And many churches will have a blue Christmas service on the winter solstice, on December the 21st, to provide people who are struggling with pain, struggling with loss, an opportunity to meet together, to recognize and embrace that pain, and then embrace the one who can bring healing and transformation, hope, peace, joy, and love. What a strange juxtaposition to have on this, the Joy Sunday of Advent. This, in the history of the church, has been called Gaudete Sunday. It's the Sunday in which we celebrate the turn of our focus from the future, in the return of Christ, to the past and his birth. The day we shift our focus from the warning to be ready and to be awake and to be aware of the return of the Master to being ready and awake and aware to celebrate his birth again anew, to join with the angels, to join with the shepherds, to join with the wise men, and to celebrate the birth of the Savior. This is the turning Sunday, and it's the Sunday of joy. But it's also the Sunday in the week in which we have to struggle with the pain and the difficulty of facing Christmas, when sometimes it's hard to do it. The passage today in John's Gospel, the passage tells us that John the Baptizer quotes Isaiah and says, "I am a voice, one voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." He's citing Isaiah here in a powerful passage. One of the possible renditions or translations here is, "I am a lonely voice, an alone voice in the wilderness crying out, prepare the way of the Lord." Sometimes at Christmas we can go through the parties, we can go through the preparations, we can go through the worship services, we can go through the shopping, we can go through the decorating, we can go through the cooking and the baking, we can go through all of the stuff and still be alone and crying in the wilderness. Alone and sobbing in the wilderness. And that's okay. It's okay to recognize that this life can be a challenge, and that the themes of Advent, of hope, peace, joy, and love can sometimes run contrary to our experiences. Life can be difficult. Life is hard. We have a Savior, we have a Lord, we have a God who sees us through the hardness, the difficulties, the pain, and the anguish. We have a God who sees us through to hope, to peace, to joy, and to love. We have a God who sees us through this. And one of the ways that God sees us through the difficulties of life is with each other. Because we are called to hold each other up. There's no way I could have made it through the pains of loss that I've experienced in my life. For example, my dad's death 10 years ago. If it had not been for the beautiful, wonderful people of God, the Christians, the members of the congregations that I've served as pastor, you, specifically you, there's no way I could have made it through. If I hadn't had you holding me up, lifting me up in prayer, lifting up my arms like Aaron and Hur holding up the arms of faith. If I hadn't had you, I wouldn't have made it through. You and congregations like you have been means of Jesus' grace in my life. And we are called to do the same for each other. In those difficult times, in those hard times, we're called to lift each other up. When loved ones die, we come together to lift each other up, to celebrate, to remember, and give thanks. My family's done that. Over the years, as we've lost members, we get together, we laugh and rejoice in their memory. We get together, my brother, myself, my mother, my nieces and nephews, we tell stories about our grandparents and my dad and all the silly things that they used to do. And we laugh and thank God for them. That's what it means to hold each other up. And as a family of faith, we hold each other up. Like with the poinsettia list. We hold each other up in memory and in honor, knowing that we don't go through this life alone. We go through it with each other, and we go through it with Jesus. We go through it with the baby Jesus, who was born in a cold, lonely stable, laid in a feeding trough, wrapped in swaddling clothes, looked on by shepherds, go through it with Jesus, who goes through it with us and for us, and with each other. My friends, sometimes we go through this season and we wonder, what's there to celebrate about? Loved ones are sick and ill. Family have died. Difficulties in life, financial, other kinds. I talk with people all the time, every single week, several times a week. I have conversations with people either at church or at the grocery store or at the restaurant about what's going on in their lives, and I hear stories of pain and loneliness. We don't face the pain and the loneliness alone. We face it with the hope and the peace and the joy and the love of God, and with the hope and the peace and the joy and the love of each other, lifting us up. As we move on now towards Christmas, next Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Advent, is also Christmas Eve. As we move on towards the fourth Sunday of Advent and the celebration of Christmas, may we be here for each other. I want to encourage you to take this poinsettia list. Do what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to pray for every person listed here in honor and for the people who listed them. And I'm going to pray for those listed in memory and the people who listed them this coming week. And I'm going to pray for those who didn't make the list. I'm going to take the directory and pray for those who didn't make the list, but whose needs are so deep, pain is so present, that they might know the love of God, and they might experience the hope and the peace and the joy of Jesus. I invite you to join me in prayer this week for those who go through the darkest night, wondering where Jesus is, feeling like a lone voice crying in the wilderness. I invite you to pray with me this week for our sisters and brothers who make this journey. Let us lift them up. Let us speak a word of comfort to them and for them. And let us be the people of God, sharing the hope and the peace and the joy and the love of Jesus with all. Let me dwell in the name of the Father.
In your presence, Lord, let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of your word by your grace upon grace. You set me free.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2017 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.